bandwidth, I guess they use the term, I suppose. Super low, you know, energy. Kind of a bummer. It's really weird. We live in an era we do now. And then on the way out there, I bought a house out on Saltese Flats. We sold our house on the water a little faster than we thought, for a little less than we probably should have. But next door to it, this guy had built this mammoth, unbelievable boathouse. He got approved that would never get approved before or after. It's unbelievable. It's just devastated the property. And we got lucky to get out when we did. And so we had 60 days to find a property, and I've got pretty nice tastes. And, you know, I didn't want to be driving up I wanted acreage. I have three dogs, and I didn't want to be driving up 13 acres of gravel road to get to my house, or, you know, things like that. So we ended up going from one very large house to another very large house. And the only problem is the first very large house that I'm moving from was a massive remodel. The second very large house we're moving into is a minor remodel. But I've lived in the other house for probably, we moved in, I suppose, in around, we bought it in 9 and finished construction in 11. So we moved in 11. So lived there about 7 years. This house, you know, who knows how long we'll be there. But the bottom line is we've got to do more construction. And it's while we're living in the house, right? Fun. And so anyhow, so that's where I've been. That's why I was a little bit late. I was out meeting with contractors and all kinds of different people with flooring and, you know, all the details, trying to get it together, just trying to get everything ready to roll. And it's a lot of work, and moving is terrible. And my wife had the grandkids this weekend, which was nice of her, and she loved, but it takes a lot of time. And so I'm just letting you in on way too much personal information. There's always a lot to pray for people. If you want to pray for us, you can pray for us and the move and all that stuff, and also for a family member that's struggling in a big way and has for quite a while. For most of their lives, we're confident there's a mental illness there. It's just something that just constantly brings problems to the table continuously, and we'd appreciate your prayers. I believe in the power of prayer. You know, I've had, like I've said, I've had this weird epiphany on faith and belief and all this stuff, and I'll be honest, I'm stifled. I go both ways on it. You know, because you get the faith movement, and you get the faith movement where people just think if you believe it, it'll happen. And the problem is, that's obviously not the case, or none of us would have any ailments and every cancer would get healed or whatever. But then at the same time, we know that God lets us go through trials. And sometimes it's scary when we live our lives certain ways. And, you know, there's people out there with different kinds of all kinds of challenges. I heard Joel Osteen talking about the CEO of a large corporation that struggles with some kind of severe addiction, and it's a secret, no one knows, and that it's eaten up his life and his whole existence, and the guy hates it and he doesn't know what to do and he's frustrated. And you know, Joel Osteen's answer to him was that, you know, you're right, on your own you can't beat it, but with the power of God, you can beat it. And the thing is, like one time, you know, I heard Ken Ortiz or somebody say, you know, people, when you have sin, you often, and you continue in it, it means you love your sin more than you love God. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that, because the Bible tells us that our flesh is weak, or that our flesh is weak, you know, and that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I'm not a theologian, but the thing is, I guess, you know, the question is, what does the Bible, you know, say on the flesh and on our weaknesses? And it'd be interesting to know. It'd just be interesting to know, because there's people that have to go through so many challenging situations to get off of various addictions, and you get my point. It's such a tough road to hoe. So if you don't struggle with that, are you a better person? That is something that I think we tend to do as believers. I pray, I honestly pray to God every day that I'm not like that. I don't ever want to be known for my judgmentalism. I just don't want to be overly judgmental. I want to be like Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ, I mean, do we really know who Jesus was? I mean, do we really have to study him to understand who he was? He starts out as a child, and, you know, and then he starts to perform miracles, and it says he was amazed at their unbelief. And then, you know, he goes on, and then later on he gets faced with a guy who says, you know, he goes all the way from his hometown, where they're just like, oh, this is, you know, they hear somebody's performing all these miracles, and they show up and they're like, oh, it's just Jesus. And then a little while later, he gets approached by a guy, and I can't remember what the ailment was, but I think he said his brother or somebody was sick. And he and Jesus said, come on, let's go. And he said, you don't have to go. He said, all you have to do is say the word and he's healed. And then Jesus was like, okay, this guy gets it. I mean, this guy gets it, right? I mean, the guy gets it. I am the Lord God Almighty, and I can heal what I want to heal. And so there we go to the direct contrast, which is awesome and phenomenal and all that other stuff. But we get a direct contrast where we go all the way from his hometown, where they're, you know, they're appalled at him, and they're just like, oh, that's just Jesus, to people that are like, well, dude, all you got to do is say the word, you know. And I think that when we walk with Jesus, we have to make sure that we don't get into the it's just Jesus thing. We need to get into the you can do whatever you want thing. And I think, I personally think we really need to build our faith and believe. I mean, every family struggles. Every group of people struggles. And we, as a family, you know, God's got plans. God's got powers. God's amazing, right? I mean, he is incredible. Let me check some here on the internet. I actually had my computer automatically reboot, which is one of my least favorite things, because I have all these pages up that I build and I do the show on, and then they all go away. They all disappear, and then I have to do everything fresh from a start. So anyway, I was checking on that. But I think in a nutshell, we've all got struggles. I don't mean to keep dwelling on this. But what I want you to understand, folks, is whatever you're going through, I mean, some people have severe pain, okay? Some people, there's all kinds of addictions, and we're not supposed to discuss the things that are done in the dark. Okay, there's all kinds of challenges. There's all kinds of worries. Okay, there's people that are so worried right now, they're sick. They're worried about a loved one, okay? Or they're being abused. Or there's people that are in marriages where one spouse is an enabler, okay? And the other spouse can't deal with an out-of-control child because the one spouse is an enabler. Now, let me tell you, folks, and not that this has anything to do with the show, but from experience, do not enable. First of all, if you have an adult, parent, whatever, in charge, you know, I mean, I understand the man's supposed to lead the house and everything. But the fact of the matter is, we have friends that are going through different situations with kids, and all the way from, you know, just minor stuff all the way to heavy legal stuff, the different families, to kids that are just ungrateful. There's one family in particular I'd like you to pray for where the son's just spoiled, rotten, and he's like 30-something, and you know, the family's just always treated him like a king, and he's just super rebellious. He's always kind of freeloaded off of him, and he's just ungrateful and whatever. But we all struggle with different things, and it's sad. And first of all, no matter what you're struggling with, folks, and maybe this is a good thing to talk about today, is love. Okay? I mean, love is absolutely the center core of everything that we are and that we do and that we need to be about is love. Love one another. Okay? Now, I was kind of looking up, what does the Bible say about the flesh, right? Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, this is where it gets tough. Folks, you know, these are things that I struggle with. I am going to be honest with you. Now, I think, I'm not positive, but I think that when I first became a believer, I think that I was part of, you know, I don't know if it's the John MacArthur movement or what. The thing is, John MacArthur is an incredible Bible teacher. But they literally, like, I think they literally say that all the miracles of the apostles went away after Jesus died. You know, I'm not saying this. I'm just telling you. And, you know, we know that God can answer prayers and all this stuff. But, you know, the faith and belief and all this stuff, this is all new to me. I mean, not new. I'm aware of it. But, you know, this, can God really do it? Does God really do it? And does our faith play a role? Does our belief play a role? Now, here's what's really hard for me. When people approach Jesus, did their faith make a difference in whether or not they were healed? Yes, it did. So all of a sudden, this is a new theological study for me. Does it matter? Well, first, let's go to the other extreme. I say wisdom's always found in the extremes. Okay, obviously, if you don't believe, you're not going to, well, that's not true either, right? If you don't believe, God can still do whatever he wants, right? But if you don't believe, your odds of having an answered prayer drop considerably. How about we say that? If you do believe, okay, if you really, really believe, you maybe you have a lot higher chance of your prayers being answered. Maybe you do. I like to think you do. I hope you do. People go through tough stuff in life. So anyway, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. How do we get in the flesh? What are the acts of the flesh? We could look that up, couldn't we? That's the deeds of the flesh are what? Evident. Here it says, now the works, this is in Galatians 5. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Okay? So I want you to think, do you struggle with any of these areas? And it's not necessary. I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. Okay? So what does that mean? Does that mean lustful thought, or is it an actual action? I don't know. People say, always quote, where Jesus said, well, if you've thought of a woman lustfully in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Well, if that was the case, always, the point of Jesus was not that, you know, you've all committed adultery and you're all going to hell, okay? The point was that we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. And there was a lady that I was dealing with at one time. We had a gal who cleaned for us. And she'd gotten married and was getting divorced. And I listened to her for a while. I fell for a trap for a while. And I basically listened to her carry on and on and on and on and on about how terrible this person was, and I actually fell for it. I fell for it. And then one night, I always get my epiphanies in the morning or at night. God said to me, that is not grounds for divorce, okay? And I'm like, Lord, you're right. that ain't grounds for divorce. Not even close. But she's on this campaign. What makes it even worse is she's going around trash talking her husband, trying to get people on her side to okay her divorce because she's sinning. I saw another woman do this one right around the time I opened my... I mean, I've seen this actually, come to think of it, a number of times. But around the time we opened our business, there was a guy and a gal that I knew from our church who'd gotten married, which shocked me. He'd ended up renting space in the basement of the house. She wasn't right, in my opinion, and her parents put her up there because she wasn't right. And, you know, one thing led to another, and they got married. And she made up fake stories that he was abusive to get out of the marriage. I mean, I know she did. I knew him, and I knew her, and I knew the situation. And she, you know, what did she do? She destroyed his name. She went out and literally destroyed his name. So that's what? That's a pretty darn big sin, right? I mean, let's face it. That's pretty bad. But she did it. Now, we do not want to be those kinds of people. We want to be the kind of people that are living in the spirit, not living in the flesh. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, the Bible says, Galatians 5:19, which are, now here I'm in NASB, it says immorality, okay? And as you know, I love Greek, so let's go do it. Okay, immorality in Greek. Oh, here it is. The key word for immorality, porneia. You heard anything that sounds similar to that in our society today? Porneia? Okay, well, the word is definitely sexually related. So, it's talking about adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, and then it actually gets worse. It says intercourse with animals. I mean, folks, throughout history, man's done some bad stuff, okay? And then it has intercourse with close relatives, you know, on and on and on. And I apologize if any of that offended any of you. I was only reading the definition of the word that is used in the actual Greek in Galatians 5:19 for immorality. So these are the deeds of the flesh. Immorality, impurity, sensuality. So let's go look these words up. These are tricky words. Akatharsia is the Greek. It means it's physical uncleanness in a moral sense. The impurity of lustful, luxurious, profligate living. Impure motives. Okay? So that word, now I apologize that we're picking the scripture apart like this. I kind of do this. Okay, so the word, it said, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality. That was the sexual part. Impurity is just living a bad life. And it even brought up luxury, maybe self-indulgence. Now, the next word is sensuality. And I just want to get these out so we all understand where we stand with God. In Greek, asalgeia is the word. And again, we are looking up the word. I'm going to remember what the word even was here. What I get stuck on the Greek. The word was sensuality. Okay. This is going to probably tend to your senses, just being as bright as I am. And they unbridled lust, excess, licentiousness, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shamelessness, insolence. Okay, so it becomes simple. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, and then it goes on, idolatry, etc. So the first verse, 5:19, is just saying, feeding your flesh with every evil thing you can. Okay, so does that mean, now, here, and now I'm confessing now, does that mean that a guy who likes sports cars is sinful? I don't think so. I've actually outgrown it. I had a power addiction, folks. I grew up, you guys kind of know my story. I got pushed out of my house pretty young and lived in some institutions. And I don't know what it was. And now that I'm super close to my mom, you know, she swears I always had this super high taste and high standards and all this, but I believe her, okay? And I always, and then one time, I think when my son was 18 and he was going to some academy down in Nevada, for his 18th birthday, I rented a Dodge Viper. And I drove that Dodge Viper across the deserts of Nevada to Utah to see him. He was in an academy in Utah. We're not Mormon, but that's just where we were. And wow. Once I got a taste of that power, now you get, before I had always kind of been a motorcycle guy and all this other stuff. Anyway, so then I just kind of went through this process over maybe the last 8, 9, 10 years of more power, more power, more power, more power. Till, you know, 850 horsepower cars and, you know, things just more, more, more. And I just got to the point where what happens is when they're all new, they're fun, they're a blast. But then what happens is then they break and they fall apart. And I never got, people say to get a lot of tickets. I never, ever, ever got a ticket in one of my sports cars. But I always got tickets like, just driving my normal grandma car around, you know, like going five over. I mean, I've always been baffled by police officers pulling you over on the interstate for doing 65 in a 60, which happened to me. Why? Okay. Here's why it baffles me is I have a degree in math and statistics. Okay. So you have to add in variables. Okay. So variable number one. Radar is not accurate, completely accurate. They'll argue that it is, but it is not. It depends on angles. It depends on other objects in the area. Then you add the human error. How do they know for sure it's the right car? You know, did they hold it long enough? You have other human error, which is the driver. Yeah, I mean, you can't keep your foot perfectly still. You're going to have a few mile an hour fluctuation, correct? You may have just changed lanes. You may have just accelerated to pass, which in Washington is legal. You know, and on we go. So giving tickets for five over in a 60 is ridiculous. And some officers just love it. And, you know, just remember with the standard that you judge, you will be judged. So even as a police officer, if you hold the line of the law to an extreme, to become a hardcore regulator, just an absolute hardcore regulator, that's how God's going to treat you. That's what your life is going to be like. And it's not good. Forgiveness is amazing. If you're a police officer and you listen, be that cop that when you can, let people go. I mean, do you know how powerful that is? Do you know how amazing that feels? Now, I'm not talking about if they're dealing meth. No. But, you know, five over, 10 over, whatever. Let them go. Pull them over, whatever. But let them go. That's grace. That's God's mercy. That is what we live for. You would never believe you can impact someone's life so much as a police officer. There's police officers now that are shooting people. Why? Because they're being trained by government agents, government contractors. I know because in the 90s, I was involved with the training of the local police department in hand-to-hand combat. And then later on, they hired government contractors who were trained to kill. And so they train the police, you know, to attack the enemy and to really throttle you. I mean, it used to be an acceleration or increase in physical force to restrain the situation. So if someone's wrestling with you, you take it up, not just a notch. You get it handled. Trust me, as a cop, you get it handled. But, you know, things like, you know, pulling guns out because somebody you can't see their hands, or I won't even get into it. But, you know, we live in a tough society. These are tough transitional times. Where we're going, I don't even know. I will be honest with you. I do not know where we're going because I believe the world is changing so rapidly and so fast. And we get this thing in Saudi Arabia where they kill this guy. But anyway, let's get back to this. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Here's the deeds of the flesh. This is what you fight with. This is what you and I struggle with. This is what the spirit overcomes. I started talking about Jesus, you know, being in his own hometown, blown off, laughed off. He goes other places. People are like, you can just speak and it's done. And then I started to talk about belief and how I was raised as a believer that you serve God, you honor God, you fear God, you beg. I mean, I've had prayers answered by just begging and begging and begging. But I'll tell you one thing that's been really hard. Is God changing others? Why? Okay. You think, well, God can do anything. It tells us, right, clearly in Proverbs that God can literally, he can turn the heart of a king like waters, you know. I mean, like nothing. And I struggle. Now, folks, I hope I'm not just boring you to death while I'm philosophizing out loud. I struggle with this stuff because it says in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Okay? But every man's way it goes, the second scripture says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Now, in order for the Lord to weigh the heart, that means God lets you do whatever you want to do. And then he goes on in Proverbs and tells you what to do. This happens to be Proverbs 21. You know, today's the 22nd. It's because I read 21 yesterday. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. Okay? To do righteousness and justice. Folks, this means, husbands, the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your children, the way you treat your son, the way you treat your daughter, the way you behave behind the wheel of your great big diesel pickup. Now, how many of us, if you drive much, you know what I'm talking about. Who are the some of these guys with these great big pickups, I mean, what happens? You get little, you know, squeaky Tom, and he crawls up seven steps, and he gets way up in his big monster truck, and then all of a sudden, little squeaky Tom, you know, he thinks he's King Kong and Hulk, and he drives like it and acts like it. We're not supposed to be that way, okay? That's not who we are. That's not doing righteousness and justice. Righteousness and justice is going out of your way to help others. I had a tire blowout the other day on an SUV that was unbelievable. The whole sidewall, the seam where the threads, where the treads connect with the sidewall, just blew apart. So bad that my car went into this big side slide as I came around a pretty sharp, you know, like 180 degree curve turn. I was sliding sideways towards an oncoming car. Very scary. Happened to be in an area near where we just bought a house. Unfortunately, there's about 2 miles of no cell service out there in the Saltese Flats. And, you know, praise the Lord. By the time I finally got pulled over, I was out of that hole because I never would have been able to call. So I called a guy who just happened to be up at our new house doing a bid to plow. We need, you know, someone to plow. It's got an extensively long driveway. And believe me, it is long, long. And it goes over other, another piece of someone else's property. And you know, we were under a time gun, and we probably could have done a little better on the house and blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line, he was bidding it all out. He happened to be there. So I called him. I said, hey, sorry, I just had a huge flat. I'm gonna call probably AAA or somebody. He goes, no, you got a spare, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, well, I'll come right down and fix it. I mean, and this guy, this guy's name is Herc, like H-E-R-C or H-E-R-K. His name's Herc. That's his real name. And he got the name for a reason. I say there's something in a name, okay? In the old days in the Bible, there was a lot more to it. When Jacob was wrestling with the angel, they wrestled all night until he said, who are you? And he finally admitted, I am Jacob. Why? He was named the deceiver. Jacob means deceiver, okay? If you have my daughter went through a really bad short-term marriage, didn't want her dad involved, you know, the whole nine yards, early 20s, knew everything. The guy's name was Jake, okay? Well, Jake means deceiver, and he's a deceiver. It's just what the name means. I don't know why people would still name their child that or why, what the situation was, but that's what it was. So anyway, there's a lot of power in a name. This guy's name's Herc. He comes to the site, you know, and here we go. He starts working the jack. The factory jack's a piece of junk. The little piece of metal you're supposed to spin on the jack is total garbage. I'm driving a newer Rover, and it just bends and warps, and it's just terrible. And we keep moving the Rover to flatter ground. You know, this is an hour-long process, and this guy changes my tire. And I'm like, dude, I owe you. And he goes, you don't owe me anything. I said, yes, I do. I pulled a $100 bill out of my pocket. He goes, I will not take that. I said, yes, you will. No, you won't. So we did that game back and forth, right? I forced him to take the $100 bill. But this is when it's talking about doing righteousness and justice, these are the things we need to do. You see someone struggling on the side of the road, go help them. It says to do that stuff, it's desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. Then he talks about haughty eyes or arrogance and a proud heart. The lamp of the wicked is sin. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. How about that? The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. The acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. Now, I know people who've made all their money lying, okay? Not good, all right? That's what I love about what I do. I've spent a couple years as a business manager in the auto dealership, selling warranties and all that stuff. I hated it. Why? Because I knew what the markups were. I knew all the loopholes in the warranties. I knew when they would and wouldn't pay. I knew there was a deductible for every single thing. I mean, I knew it was the extended warranties were a bad product. There were a couple exceptions. Subaru had one that just extended the factory warranty. I sold cheap, cheap, cheap. You know, you were supposed to, you would not believe. I mean, the cost of a warranty back then was $300-$500. And then, you know, they wanted just selling them at $1,300 to $1,500. I would just add $200. I had the highest penetration in the nation. Of course, my general manager never told me when three Subaru executives showed up at the shop to take me to lunch, which he conveniently forgot to tell me. But the fact of the matter is, I hated it. I hated selling stuff that I knew people didn't need, that I knew things were wrong, you know, and all the 3M coating and Scotchgard and all this junk. It's just junk, folks. It's junk. These cars were built to last, you know, and all the security etching in the windows in case your car gets ripped off, and it's all a scam. So avoid that stuff like the plague. We'll say that. I will say, since we have 2 minutes left, and I got going really late. Number one thing we really appreciate is positive reviews. If you've done business with us, or even if you haven't or whatever, and or maybe, you know, come in and buy something or don't. I don't care. Go on Google, give us a 5-star rating, and we will give you a free Morgan Silver Dollar. I'll give you a nice one. I'll make sure they give you a nice one, not, you know, and I'm talking from the 1800s. You want 2 nice Morgan Silver Dollars or 2 ounces of silver, do 3 reviews. Do one on, like, Yahoo, one on Google, and one on Yelp or something. And say you did business, it was great. You know, discuss the facility. Explain we've got the nicest facility, that our employees really will do everything in their power to make your life pleasant. We really will. My employees, the number one thing they've heard over and over, do the right thing no matter the cost, okay? If you've got coins to sell, bring them in. Coins to buy, bring them in. You want to invest in an IRA, 401k, come and see us. Anything to do with this stuff. Right now, folks, there's nowhere to go with your money. You give your money to a broker right now, you're nuts. You are at the top of Mount Fuji financially. Sure, it might go higher, but folks, it's just going to bust and it's going to hurt bad. And I'm sorry, but it's a fact. So when you deal with metals and coins, the prices are right. The prices are good. I mean, they're cheap. Morgans, everything. It's just very inexpensive. And there's somebody out there that has a substantial amount of savings they need to save. Come and get dollars. Let us do dollars in gold. Folks, there's such a value in Morgan Silver Dollars. They've never gone down. They've always gone up. They've always been there. Just come and see us, 444-0044. Get that money in savings now before you lose it all. I'm feeling like someone needs to hear that, okay? I thank you for tuning in. And look forward to being back on Wednesday. I'm moving. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But take care. God bless. And thanks for your patience. I do love you all. Please pray for us. Praise God. Amen.